Turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 19. Luke, chapter 19. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. Matthew, Mark, and then the book of Luke in the New Testament, chapter 19. It's good to be back home. I realize some of you don't even know I left. I feel loved, you know. I was in Cleveland, Ohio this week. I'm not sure they understood me up there. Some people don't even understand me here, you know. Amen. Luke chapter 19, verse number 1. Appreciate the Sunday school hour. Appreciate Brother Gary and the message. I told him that was terrible. He said, I know it. He said, it's time somebody told me the truth, you know. That was outstanding, wasn't it? We praise God for it. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. What are y'all laughing at, folks? Come on. Told my wife I was preaching on Zacchaeus on the way home from Cleveland, and she looked at me and said, do you have anything in common with him? Verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. But the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In verse number 2, I want to give you the title of my message. It's the four words, a man named Zacchaeus. A man named Zacchaeus. By the way, what Zacchaeus looked like? Let me just step out from behind the pulpit. This is a pretty accurate picture of what Zacchaeus may have looked like. But I want to preach to you today on this man named Zacchaeus. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, we're reminded of all you've done for us. And Lord, you've drawn our attention to this man this morning. And I pray that you help me to preach it with power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In our text, we see the Lord Jesus Christ entered and passed through Jericho. No doubt Jericho had been filled with reports concerning the Lord, and great excitement existed among the people. And as a matter of fact, God's word tells us that there is a press of people, a large crowd, if you will, of people gathered to see and be around the Lord Jesus as he passed by that way. Now, in the midst of this large crowd of people, there is a man named Zacchaeus among them. And for some reason, this is the man that God centers our attention on in this text. Now, in our text, we see Zacchaeus is a little man with a big problem. And throughout these verses, we see invaluable truths that's brought out for our consideration. As a matter of fact, in these truths, we can learn some eternal truths that can mean the difference between heaven and hell, maybe for somebody this morning. I want to dig in and I want to consider some things about this man, a man named Zacchaeus. Three things about him. Number one, let's look at his summary. In other words, what summarized his life? We find this in verses 1, 2, and also in verse number 7. As a matter of fact, there are three things that summarize this man's life. Who he was. Who was Zacchaeus? Well, number one, the Bible says he was from Jericho in verse number 1. The Bible said it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho. Excuse me. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Now understand that it's been said that Jericho was a bad city. As a matter of fact, it had been cursed at this time whenever the word of God is spoken here. So we see, number one, he's from Jericho. But number two, in verse number 2, we see that he was a chief tax collector. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the Romans placed tax centers at all crossroads of travel. Therefore, we see that there was one placed here in Jericho.
Now understand that these tax collectors were able to overtax their people to pay for the occupying Roman army and make a profit. Therefore, the Jewish people, get this, viewed tax collectors as traitors, refusing to let them testify in a court of law or worship in the temple. They were alienated from the social and religious life of the nation. Now listen to this. Sometimes these tax collectors would cheat the people in order to enrich themselves. For instance, Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector, and say that the Roman legion, I believe that they taxed the land by 5%, but many times these tax collectors would bump it up to 10 or 15% and pocket all of the money that was above the 5%. Now this leads me to my third point. In other words, we're looking at his summary. He was from Jericho. He was a chief tax collector, which meant he probably stole from the people. Therefore, we see in verse number three about him, he was rich, the Bible says in verse two, probably from his extortion. Now get this, as the people looked at Zacchaeus, from where he was from, to what he did, to who he was, they called him in verse number seven, a sinner. Now from one point of view, now don't miss this, from one point of view, he was the worst of sinners, from the worst of cities, with the worst of jobs. Do you see that? But yet on the other point of view, from his point of view, he was a man of power, he was a man of position, who had all this world could offer. In the eyes of the world, get this, in the eyes of the world, he was successful. Yet in the eyes of individuals, he was despised. Now that's his summary. Anybody want to trade places with him? Would you raise your hand? You listening? He's from the worst of cities, the worst of jobs, the worst of sinner. And yet he thinks he has all the world has to offer. But that brings me to my second point. And that is this. Not only his summary, but second, let's look at his seeking. We see this in verses 3 and 4. Look at it. And he sought, there it is, to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. It's interesting to note to me that even though he was rich and he had power and he had position, his heart was still not content. There was something missing in this man's life. There was a void that needed to be filled. See him noticing a large crowd passing by and asking, what's this crowd about? And somebody tells him, hey, it's Jesus Christ. He's coming this way. He's the famous prophet. And his curiosity got the best of him. He just had to see him. And he was seeking the Lord. In a nutshell, he was a great sinner, get this, seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me stop here before I go on and say this. There may be somebody here today that you think you have everything the world has to offer, but yet you realize that there's something missing. On the flip side, you might be despised by people like Zacchaeus. See, Zacchaeus was a man of power and position. To himself, he thought he had it all, but he knew something was missing in his life. People hated this man. They couldn't stand this man. And because of all of this, he realized there's something wrong with me. There's something missing in my life. And he says, what's all this crowd about? Somebody said, it's Jesus Christ. He said, who's that? It's the famous prophet. He started to seek the Lord. There's three things about his seeking I want to share with you quickly today. First thing under this, his seeking was on the right person. We see this in verse number three, and he sought to see Jesus. Boy, I like that. This man had everything the world had to offer. He had money, he had position, he had power. He no doubt set his heart on what the world had given him, but this all left him empty. Now we see his heart seeking not what the world had, but seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Just get a glimpse of him. And let me say here that his seeking was based on the right person. All of life, he had sought for himself, what he could get for himself, what he could get out of other people. But now he's seeking Jesus. Little did he know that the one he was seeking was the one he had been looking for all along. See, the thing is, folks, is so many times
we as human beings, I'm talking about before salvation and even after salvation. I mean, I realize that once we're saved forever, and praise God for it. But let me just speak to those who may be lost today. Why do people choose Jesus last? Why do they try everything else first? Why don't you take the word of God for it, folks? Jesus Christ is the only peace that will satisfy your heart. He's it. That's it. People try to stick in money. They try to stick in immorality. They try to stick in drugs. They try to stick in alcohol. They try to stick in marriage. They try to stick in children. They try to stick in good things, but something's missing, because that missing point is Jesus Christ himself. This man seeking was on the right person, but number two, this man seeking had real problems. We see this in verse number three. Even though Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord, he had some things standing in his way. Matter of fact, I see two things standing in his way. First of all, the size of the crowd was in his way. Look at verse number three. And he could not, and he sought to see Jesus who he was, and could not for the press. In other words, there were so many people gathered to see the Lord that this crowd was standing between him and a glimpse of Jesus Christ. Let me say this to you. In the same way, there are those today who have not come to the Lord because of some other person. Whether it be a friend, a relative, a spouse, or a hypocrite in the church, they say. Just like this man Zacchaeus, hey, his summary was, he's the worst kind of sinner from the worst city with the worst job. He's empty. He's seeking. Even though he's got everything the world has to offer, he's still not content. All these people are against him. They hate his guts. Because of that, he's seeking Jesus Christ. He wants to see the Lord. But that seeking had real problems. He had the size of the crowd to deal with. Secondly, he had the stature of his body to deal with. The Bible says in verse number three, the latter part, it says, because he was little of stature. There was the personal problem of his size that was a problem for him. Get this. Trying to keep him from seeing the Lord. Get this. He was short. Now you say, Jody, what in the world does that have to do with me? In the same way, let's spiritualize that. We all have a personal problem that's trying to keep us from getting to Jesus. It's called sin. And the Bible says we have all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 3, verse number 23. We see that this man seeking was on the right person, yet this man seeking had real problems. He had the size of the crowd. He had the stature of his body. But number three, we see this man seeking had resolved persistence. In other words, in verse number four, look at it. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. What I'm trying to say to you here is that he didn't let anything at all keep him from getting to Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus climbed a tree to get a glimpse of the Lord as he passed by that day. This little man allowed nothing, not the crowd, not his condition, nothing to stand between him and his seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. See him as his heart is yearning, as his heart is seeking something, and somebody says, Jesus Christ is coming this way. He's the powerful prophet. And all of a sudden, his heart starts yearning and starts burning and says, I want to see him. I want to get to Jesus. I want to see him. I want to see him. But this crowd's pressed all around him, and he can't look over them. He's too short. Now, what some people do is they quit right there, not Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus ran before. He said, I'm not going to let the crowd, I'm not going to let my body, I'm sick of excuses. I will get to Jesus Christ. He had resolved persistence. Let me ask you a question. What about you? If you're here lost today, do you care enough about the condition of your soul to pay whatever price is necessary to get a glimpse of Jesus Christ? By the way, he's worth whatever you give up. Amen. Number one, we've noticed Zacchaeus' summary. Number two, we've noticed his seeking. And number three, boy, I like this, we notice his salvation. He's brought out in verses 5-9. Now, in this point of the story, we see our great salvation. As a matter of fact, I realize that a majority of folks here today have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Let me say this. If you haven't trusted Christ, please pay attention. If you have trusted Christ, then we need to follow the Lord's example that I'm about to give us in going after other people. So this is for everybody. I want to give you some things today that brought about the salvation of Zacchaeus. And matter of fact, as I share this salvation, this great salvation, if you're saved, this is exactly what the Lord did for you too. Amen. I want to give you some things. Number one. Now keep in mind the context. This man is a sinner. He's a tax collector from the worst kind of city. People hate him, but yet he's mooching off of them. He's stealing from them. They can't stand him. All he's interested is in himself, but even when he has all the money in the world, something's missing. Something's missing. And when he hears about Jesus, his curiosity gets the best of him. The crowd is trying to keep him from the Lord. His own body is trying to keep him from the Lord. But he resolved that he will not let anything stand between him and Jesus. Now he climbs up in that sycamore tree, and there he is. Can you see in your mind? I'm gonna bring you some things. Oh, this is a blessing. Number one, Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was. We see this in verse number 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord Jesus could have gone any way he wanted. Yet he chose to go to the place where one sinner was seeking him. When Zacchaeus could not get to the Lord came to him. Sound familiar? In the same way, Jesus Christ, get this, it's Christmas season. In the same way, Jesus Christ has left the portals of glory some 2,000 years ago to come to us in order that he might bring us to himself. Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for us, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The Bible tells us, don't turn to it for time's sake, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, it says this, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. We were all there at one time, saved or not. Listen, if you're lost, you're still there without Christ. But we who are saved, there was a time in our life when we were without him. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What am I saying here? I'm saying that just like Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was, when Zacchaeus could not get to him, he went to Zacchaeus. Folks, we could never make it to heaven on our own. And yet Jesus Christ came, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless, perfect life, so you and I could go live with him for all eternity. The gulf that separated me from Christ, my Lord, it was so fast, the crossing I could never afford. From where I was to his domain, it seemed so far, I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. Then the chorus goes on to say, he came to me, oh, he came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and he drew me gently to his side, where today in his sweet love I now abide. He came to me. He came to where Zacchaeus was. Number two, he not only came to Zacchaeus, number two, he considered him. That's a beautiful thought. Verse number 5, look at it, it says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Can you imagine Zacchaeus? I mean, honestly, this man had no clue what the Lord was going to do. Only thing he knew is, I just want to get a glimpse of him.
And can you see him as he's up on that sycamore tree and the Lord starts coming close to the sycamore tree? You say, wait a minute, I've got a front row seat. And all of a sudden he gets to that tree and he stops. And he looked up at him. Man, isn't that exciting? You know what that tells me? That tells me he considered Zacchaeus. He considered him. The Word of God tells us the Lord came to that tree, stopped, looked up, and saw him. This all tells us, get this, that the Lord took time for this one man. He stopped out of his busy schedule and the busy road he was on, and he took time to consider one man searching for meaning in his life. Oh, how much of God's heart do we see at this time? When the crowd saw Zacchaeus as a terrible sinner, Jesus Christ saw him as a lost soul. He knew all that there was to know about Zacchaeus. He knew he was a sinner. He knew he was a tax collector. He knew he was from Jericho. But he still loved him. And he still wanted to save him. Isn't that beautiful? When the world around him didn't have the time of day for him. Get that. The world around him didn't have the time of day. The God of the universe stopped to consider him. Throughout Scripture, we see the Lord taking time to consider individuals. We see him taking time to consider the blind man. Taking time to consider the woman taken in adultery. Taking time to consider the maniac of Gadara. And by the way, if you're saved, he also stopped and took time to consider you. The Lord Jesus Christ is considering you today. I'm talking to somebody who may be lost. He knows all about you. You know, there's some people around the world, they've done some awful things. And maybe you've heard this before, but there's some people who think to themselves, God could never forgive me, I've been too bad. You don't know what I've done. God could never forgive me. Are you listening? God's seeking you. He's searching for you. He's not sitting back in the corner saying, well, I hope they don't find me. Tell you one thing, they've been so bad. I tell you, I'll save them if they come because that's my word, but I'm just going to hide myself. No, he's searching for you. He knows where you are. And he's going to consider you too if you let him. Let me flip this aside just a moment. Because I know this is a salvation message. But let me talk to Christians just a moment. Are you stopping out of your busy schedule to consider people? Are you? Are you just too busy? You say, I don't have time for that. You better be careful what you say, or God might take the time you have. We need to spend our time like the Lord, going to where they are, stopping our busy lives and considering them. Then it doesn't stop there. Number three, he came to Zacchaeus, he considered Zacchaeus. Number three, he called Zacchaeus to himself. We see this in verse 5. It says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus. This is blessing my heart, honestly. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what Zacchaeus must be thinking? I mean, he knows what he's done. He's an ungodly sinner. He just wanted to get a glimpse. Lo and behold, he has to get up in a sycamore tree to do it, probably like I'd have to do, and so on. All he wants to do is just see him from afar away. I mean, there's his head. There he is. Good, I got to see him. Praise God. But yet Jesus turns his way, comes to the tree where he was, and he stops, and he looks up at him. Wait a minute. He sees me. And then all of a sudden he says, Zacchaeus, wait a minute. He knows me. I mean, think about this. He said, make haste and come down. He said, because today I must abide with you at your house. What a beautiful thought here.
He called Zacchaeus. The Lord lifts his voice and speaks to Zacchaeus to come down because he was going to go home with him. This is absolutely tremendous. God speaks to Zacchaeus, wanting to go home with him. The Lord said, I must. You know what that word I must means? This shows that he is bringing Zacchaeus to a divine appointment with salvation. And there's a couple things about this call I want you to see. Number one, under this, it was a gracious call. What's that mean? The Lord could have passed him by, right? He could have, but he didn't. He was a sinner and he was worthy to die, but God stopped and called his name. Gracious, gracious. Number two is an urgent call. We see this in the Lord's language. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Hurry up. Don't wait. Come down now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. It was an urgent call. There was no time to waste. Notice the date. If you have a Scofield reference Bible, if you don't worry about it. I don't have one I'm preaching from, but at the top of it, it has what's the date? Somebody tell me the date. AD 33, right? Correct? You know what that means? This could have been the one and only time he passed Zacchaeus' way. He died at 33 years of age. He's 33 right here. What's the point? You're crazy to gamble with salvation. That's the point. And when God Almighty steps down and he stops under your tree and he looks up at you and he calls your name and he says, this is what you need. You are crazy to say no to that. Because he may not pass by that way anymore. And if he doesn't, it's over. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow. James 4:14, watch your life. It's even a vapor. Get this, God wanted to dwell with him. What would he do? What would Zacchaeus do? So we turn our attention just a moment, because we're coming back to the Lord, we turn our attention just a moment to Zacchaeus, and this is point four under his salvation. The Lord came to him, the Lord considered him, the Lord called him. Now what would Zacchaeus do? Well, number four, Zacchaeus committed to God's word. We see this in verse 6, look at it. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Zacchaeus believed what Jesus told him, in other words. And came down and received him. He, get this, he turned to the Lord. This is what he did. And the same way, if you ever become a child of God, you must believe what God's word says. You must believe the word of God and what it tells you, that you're a sinner, that you deserve death, but Jesus Christ died for you and he was buried and he rose again. You must believe God's word before you can ever be saved. Amen. The Bible says in Acts 26:20, repent and turn to God. This was not some half-hearted decision by Zacchaeus. He committed unto God and to his word. Now, right here is where Zacchaeus got saved. And I'll be honest with you, I thought in verse 9 is when he got saved, but that's not true. I'll bring it out in just a moment. Zacchaeus got saved right here. I'll show it to you in just a moment. How did he get saved? Well, first of all, he committed to God's word. He believed the word of God. He believed it. Then number two, this is number five if you're following me, making notes. This is all under his salvation. Zacchaeus not only committed to God's word, but he confessed Christ as Lord. We see this in verse number 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. In the same way, you are not saved until you believe, repent, and confess. That's Bible salvation. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 10, verses 9 and 10, don't turn to it, but it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. By the way, how do we know God raised him from the dead? God's word tells us. right? Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We're looking at his salvation here. The Lord came to where he was. The Lord considered him. The Lord called to him. Zacchaeus committed to God's word. He believed the word of God and he confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord. Then that brings us back to the Lord. This is number six here if you're following me under his salvation. In verse number eight, we see Jesus changed Zacchaeus' life. We see he changed his life. What a beautiful picture of salvation we have here. Notice that Bible salvation brought a change to Zacchaeus' life. Get this, there will be evidence of a true, repentant, receptive heart. There will be evidence of it. I'm not telling you how much, but there will be some. You say, what's the evidence? Well, let's look at it. Look at verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, this is beautiful here. First thing he said, I give half my goods to the poor. Now, what was his life like before he met the Lord? Give me what you've got. It's 5%, but I'm going to take advantage of you. I'm going to charge you 10 or 15% because I want a little bit of extra cash. Taking. But he met Jesus Christ. He believed God's word. He received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And now his attitude has gone from taker to giver. He's saying, I'm going to give half my goods to the poor. Then he goes on to say a second thing. He said this. He said, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. Now, what's the significance of this? Stay with me here. This fourfold was the amount that was required in the Jewish law, get this, when a sheep had been stolen and a man was convicted of theft by the law. In other words, when he didn't come out with it, he kept it in, but they found him guilty. He tried to hide it, you see what I'm saying? Then at that time, he had to restore fourfold. Are you with me? But notice this. If this man who stole something confessed it himself without being detected and tried, he had to only restore what was stolen and add a fifth part to it. That's found in Numbers chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. So notice the difference here. If a man had stolen something from somebody else and he tried to hide it and didn't give it back, and yet he was taken to court, so to speak, and they found him guilty, he had to restore fourfold. But if he got under conviction and he took it back himself and said, I'm guilty, without being taken to court first, you see what I'm saying? He willingly confessed himself. Then he had to give back what he stole and just give a fifth extra to that person. Now notice this. Zacchaeus has not been tried. He's not been convicted. And yet he treats himself with the worst punishment by the law. Listen to this. The sincerity of his repentance was manifest by his being willing to make restoration as great if it had been proved against him. Evincing his sense of wrong and his purpose to make full restitution. Are you listening? Only a destructive and violent robbery required this. That's it. Destructive and violent. Get this. Boy, this is great. Zacchaeus' obedience exceeded God's requirement. He said, I want to do more than's expected. Do you see the change in this man's life? What a change. He's renouncing the old life of sin, and he's embracing the new life in Christ. We cannot suppose that this has been always his practice. Now stay with me. For no man would wantonly extort money from another and then restore him at once four times as much. Anybody who's a thief, you listening? Zacchaeus has been crazy. I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to steal this. I'm going to give you four times as much in just a few days. That's not too good of a... As a matter of fact, if that's the kind of thief you are, come steal everything I've got. We see something different about this man. This man taking. But now he meets the Lord. The Lord changes his life. Perhaps his mind had, for a considerable time, been perplexed about the matter. And now when he gets to the Lord, or should I say when the Lord gets to him, he wants to make things right. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? A man who's injured others, who cheated them and defrauded them, now as a Christian, was willing to go as far as possible to make full restoration. You know, one of the best evidences of true conversion, now listen, I don't like when a preacher throws out false assurance. Because if you're living a good life, that is not evidence of a salvation. But if you're truly saved, it'll tell on you. It'll change your life. It really will. Number one, what we're looking at is salvation. His summary, his seeking, his salvation. His salvation, the Lord came to where he was, looked up and considered him, and called him to himself. Zacchaeus committed to God's word. He believed the word of God. He confessed Christ as Lord. He accepted him into his heart and life. Jesus changed his life. And then number, is this eight? Jesus confirmed his new birth. We see this in verse number nine. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Jesus said salvation had come. And that Zacchaeus was now a son of Abraham. See, in these statements, he was telling Zacchaeus he was God's child. Because in Galatians chapter 3, verse 9, so they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Romans 4:9-18, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but that teaches the same. In all of this, we see the Lord is telling, he's confirming to Zacchaeus. He said, now you are in the family, not by works, but by faith. Do you see that? Zacchaeus had trusted the Lord. Somewhere between verse 5 to verse number 8, God changed his life. I mean, changed him radically. See, you understand that Zacchaeus in verse 8 was not doing those things to earn salvation. He wasn't saying, I'm going to give half my goods. I'm going to do this to be saved. No. Because if he had of verse 9, could not be in Scripture. Because salvation is not by works. He's doing verse number 8, giving the half of his goods and restoring fourfold out of the repentant heart that he had in verse number 5, verse number 6, verse number 7. When he received Jesus Christ, God changed his life, saved him, changed him. And now Jesus comes on, right after it and says, oh, by the way, let me just give you a word of confirmation. Now you are a son of Abraham. He's saying this is by faith, it's not by works. In the same way, we need to get our assurance from God. Get our assurance from God's word today. How do I know I'm saved? Not by what I do, but by what he has said. It's by faith. It's not by works. It's not by feeling. It is by faith. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Based on your faith and evidence thereof in your life, can you receive the same confirmation from Jesus Christ? I'm about through. Stay with me. This man was a thief, was a chief of the publicans, and he was rich. He was no doubt despised and hated by all the people in Jericho and the surrounding area. After all, he was an employee of the Roman government. Publicans were tax collectors and were notorious for overcharging the people. Like I've told you before, they normally charge 5% tax. I'm talking about Rome, for instance. If Rome would charge 5%, the tax collectors could charge 10 to 15% or whatever they wished. And as a result of this, these publicans were guilty of gross extortion of the people. They were viewed as the worst kind of sinners. And the Bible's clear when it says that Zacchaeus was a rich man. He had grown that way on the backs of his fellow Jews. And still it would seem that his money wasn't able to quiet the turmoil in his soul. His position would have given him much power over people and properties. It may be that Zacchaeus had a Napoleon complex. He was short, and perhaps he tried to compensate for this by throwing his power around. I don't know. Yet his power and position couldn't satisfy him. It seems that something in his life was missing. And he hears that Jesus is passing by that way, and he simply wanted to see him. And because he's a small man, he's unable to see the road for the crowds that have gathered to see Jesus as he passed by. Not being deterred, Zacchaeus finds a tree and climbs up into it to see who this Jesus is. When the Lord stops, looks up, calls his name, and brought salvation to him. See, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, we see that even though Zacchaeus was seeking the Lord, in reality, the Lord was seeking him. And if you're lost today, he's seeking you. Just like he sought me many years ago. And if you are saved today, are you actively seeking others? May the Lord help us with this. Amen. Let's all bow our heads together and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, we love you. And I thank you for your goodness to me. And I realize that this is a salvation message this morning. Lord, this is the message that you've laid on my heart. And I pray that you'll use it. Please forgive my sins. For hindering you in any way, shape, or form, may thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed as they begin to play through softly. Let me deal with you. Is there somebody today, you say, Jody, I'm glad that there's been a time in my life when the Lord sought me out. And I'm glad when he called my name, I'm glad that I answered. I'm asking you, are you a Christian? Do you know the Lord? Now, please don't condemn yourself. Listen, you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to God. He's going to be the one to judge you someday. All I'm asking you to be is be honest. That's it. Just be honest. If you know the Lord as your Savior, if and only if you know him as your Savior, you don't hope you know him, you do know him, no doubt about it. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? And say, I know the Lord. I've been saved. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. May I remind you that the Lord took time for one person. There may be one here today. That spiritually speaking, you're in a sycamore tree. And you realize that you're searching for something. And it's been brought to your attention that the one you're searching for is not someone in this life. It's not something in this life. It's the Lord God of heaven. It's Jesus. If you just sat there and did not raise your hand, thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. And I'm going to ask you to be honest one more time. Would you do that? And I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I promise you that. As a matter of fact, before I even asked you to do this, there was a time in every one of our lives who can raise our hands. There was a time in our life when we couldn't raise our hand to this. As far as being saved, we were just like you. God help you. Have you say, Jody, I'm not sure. I could not raise my hand a moment ago saying, I know for sure that I'm a Christian. I could not raise my hand to that. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? Now again, I'm not going to come to your seat. I will not call you out.
I will not do that. I'm not going to embarrass you. But you say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand. I'm being honest. Would you be an honest person right now? Would you raise your hand right now? Anybody like that? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. I'm looking around this auditorium. Anybody at all, if you'll put your hand right up, put it up high, and then put it right back down. Again, I'm not going to call you out. Anybody at all, I'm looking. Anybody at all? Then let me ask you this. If you're saved, aren't you glad the Lord did for you what He did for Zacchaeus? Amen. And I remind you that what He did for you, He wants us to do for others. He wants us to take Him to others. He wants us in our busy life to stop, to consider, to call people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they will come to Him, He'll change their life. He'll take them to heaven when they die. Have you said, Jody, I'm a Christian. God is speaking to me in this area of being more like Him and seeking individuals for salvation. I'm talking about your soul winning. You say, Jody, God's speaking to me. God is speaking to me. I need to be more like the Lord in seeking other people, going to them, considering them, calling them. And I want to tell the Lord that I recognize Him speaking to me. Have you been an honest Christian? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest Christian. Be an honest child of God. Yes. God help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take the message and use it. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As the instruments play through and as Brother Gary begins to sing, if God is dealing with you, would you leave your place and would you come? About your soul winning, somebody's still lost, you didn't raise your hand, but you know this is what you need. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. As Brother Gary sings, would you come, please? Please, would you come, please?
I can hear my Savior calling.
I can hear my Savior calling.
I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me.
They're playing through. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way, please. Please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Please don't take this as a pastor scolding his people. Please don't do that. But I have a hard time believing that only three people out of a crowd this size are the only three people who are not seeking others the way they should. What's wrong with us? I'm just talking to you, allowing those at the altar to pray. My heart is burdened. We've got people dying all over our area. That's never one time heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Not one time. You say, Joe, are you trying to get everybody to the altar? No. God's been good to us, hasn't He? I'm glad He sought me out. I'm glad He came looking for me when I wasn't even looking for Him. And how little I do in taking that glorious message around our place. We all need to do a better job, don't we? Am I right or wrong? I'm right. I want to challenge you with this, and then we're going to sing the last verse, and we'll be through. Next Sunday morning is Gift Sunday. Every one of you, including me, I'm going to see people this week that you don't see. You're going to see people this week that maybe nobody else in this auditorium sees. Now, I know this was a strong salvation message. And next week, God willing, it may even be stronger. I want to see people saved, don't you? Would you like to see that? How are we going to do it? We've got to stop. We've got to consider. We've got to start calling, just like the Lord. I'm challenging you this week. Take some of those flyers, pass them out at work. Young people, pass them out at school. Let's blow it out next week for the glory of God. See a great week. Amen. Let's sing that last verse, Brother Gary. What number is that?
276.
276. Let's turn our hymnals. Let's sing that last verse. That last verse. And then we'll pray together and be dismissed. And I want to remind all the visitors who are here today, please don't forget to go out the back here. Take your visitor's card, put it on the table. Brother Gary and his wife will be back there. And they've got a special gift just for you, just for saying thank you for being here. So let's sing this last verse together. I'm gonna ask Brother John Mineta, I believe he's here. If you wouldn't mind to make your way to the platform, please. As we sing this last verse, I'm gonna have Brother John come. He's gonna dismiss us in prayer. Right after this closing hymn, Brother John's gonna dismiss us in prayer. Let's sing it together, please. I'll see you tonight at 7. God bless you.
Give me grace and glory. Give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory, and go with me all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow.
We thank you for this day we could be in God's house and study God's word. Thank you for our preacher. We ask, Lord, again, if anybody is here today has never trusted you, that they'll do it soon before it's too late. They could be saved and on their way to heaven. I ask you to bless each one, especially me, Lord. Help me to do more this week to get more people here, and then help us to just have a big day next week that many, many souls will be saved. Be with us now as we travel home. Bring us back tonight to the service, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.